Praise the Lord. Hey, I want to continue talking about something that I started talking about a few weeks ago. I have found that I don't always teach in series, but I found that I usually have less time than I have words. And so series is a good way to take care of that problem. You know, then you still get home on time. You can eat and all that stuff. And so I get you out of here on time by doing a series. And so if you missed what we started on, you can always go back and do that. Our app, you can download that, and the messages are always put on there. And so I'll try to catch you up a little bit, but we're gonna go over some new ground tonight. For those of you that are watching online, I got to tell you too, if you didn't hear the last part of this, I'll do my best to keep you up. I know my daughter, who is about to make me a grandfather, she's watching tonight. So, Allie, if you'll type amen in the comments, your mom will know that you weren't disappointed in your dad this evening. So, love you. Love you, Worm. All right, so we started talking about what I'm calling water walkers and living above the waves the last time that we were together. And I gave a couple of points, talked about, we're gonna go back to the same scripture that we were in before. If you will find it, and I'll just do some catching up for us, but if you'll go to Matthew 14, we said a couple of things to you. We said, the first thing that we said to you was that storms are meant to distract us from our destiny or our destination. We're going to be looking at the incident where Peter walks on the water. And one of the things that I brought out, well, you'll notice when we read it this evening that used to, when I would read it, in just a casual glance, sometimes you get the idea that when Peter steps out of the boat, he's stepping out on calm waters. But when you read the scripture, you see that that's not what it says. The wind was already contrary. And so when he's stepping out, there's a level of faith there. When they see Jesus walking on the water and he says, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. And he, you know, what could he say? It was him. So he said, come. He steps out of the boat. The wind and the waves were already there. But those storms, he was focused. We said this to you. He was focused on Jesus. He was looking at him and he started out real well. And I think a lot of times we start out real well. You know, we eliminate all the things that are going on around us. We get our focus on the Lord, and we're pressing through. We're saying, you know, I know God's got some things for me. I'm heading in the right direction. I mean, you've been there, and then all of a sudden, something happens that gets us distracted. Well, that's what storms are meant to do. They're meant to distract us, to get our focus to shift. The second thing we said to you was this. We said one key ingredient for walking above waves is knowing and doing the will of God. Once you know the will of God, it gives you something to step out in faith on. Right? When we have his word on something, we're not stepping out into nothingness. We're stepping out on his word. Amen? So when we get clear direction that God has something for us to do, it gives us sure footing that we can step out in faith. And then when we do that, while we follow his will, we know that we can trust that wherever we're going, if we stay focused on him, he's going to help us get there. Amen? So we're going to talk about a little bit, a couple of different things this evening, but I want to, let's read our scripture and we'll move forward from Matthew 14, beginning with verse 23. It says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. And now when evening was come, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come on the water. So he said, come, and when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Now, I've seen God do some amazing things in my life over the years. And even though time after time, God has brought me through things, I mean, this is, you know, this is miraculous, right? People don't just walk on water. That's a great place to say amen, unless you know something I don't. People don't just walk on water, and so we see him doing the miraculous, and he's going, but the scripture tells us when he started looking at the wind and the waves, he began to sink, which is also miraculous. I can remember when I was a kid one time fishing with my dad at a place called Horseshoe Lake back home. And I didn't like to fish much when I was a kid. I like it a lot more now, but I think it's directly connected to the fact that I like to eat. And so fishing equals eating equals, you know, okay, so. Well, I would always goof around, didn't really want to fish, but my dad would take me with my brother and his friend, and we would go fishing. We were standing on a dock, and I got on the edge of the dock, and I was just kind of rocking back and forth on the edge of the dock. They weren't paying any attention to me. I was having fun until I fell in. And it was wintertime or fall, and I was wearing rubber boots. And I went to the bottom. You don't just begin to sink when you get in the water. Thank God my dad was there. What he did was, like, he could barely see me. I mean, he was going to jump in after me, but he looked and he saw I had real blonde hair at the time. I'm calling this gray hair blonde still. But he grabbed me by my hair because I was on the bottom. And, it was only seconds, surely. But I can remember vividly that I could not get up off the bottom because my boots were filled with water. And he grabbed me by my hair. Thank God he did. And he pulled me up out of the water. Why? Because we sink, we don't float. So Peter is beginning, the scripture tells us, he's beginning to sink. Thank God Jesus didn't make him wait as long as my dad did. He didn't even go all the way under. So this is a miraculous occurrence that's taking place. Peter is experiencing the miraculous in his life on the word come that Jesus said to him. He's walking out in faith. But then he starts seeing the wind and the waves and he gets distracted and he begins to sink. And I think a lot of times in our lives, when we're moving along with God, something will come up that will get us to begin to look at it and we just start slowly going under. Not all at once. But we just slowly begin to go under. And I think if you're anything like me, I'll just be completely transparent with you. There have been times in my life where I've faced things, and though God has been so faithful so many times, I wonder, is this the time that I'm not going to make it? Is this the time that it's not going to work out? I want us to realize today that no matter what we may be facing, God is both willing and able to bring us through any time we follow him. There's a parallel passage about this account. Now, this account is tied to, and this will make sense here in just a few minutes, but this account is tied to the feeding of the 5,000. We see the feeding of the 5,000. That's mentioned in all four of the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all mention that portion. They don't all mention the walking on the water portion where Peter walks on the water. It's absent in other passages, but all of them, the instance that occurs, it's the feeding of the 5,000, and then there's the storm and the walking on the water. And so I would encourage you to go back and look at this in the other passages as well. But we're going to look at Mark 6, and I'm going to show you some things tonight that I believe will help us all. In Mark 6, we're going to pick it up a little earlier in the story with this feeding of the 5,000. Verse 30 says, "Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, 'Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while.' For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves." But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him and ran on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep not having a shepherd, so he began to teach them many things. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away, and they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." But he answered and said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" But he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks of hundreds and fifties, and he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples set before them, and the 2 fish he divided among them. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. Again, miraculous. Amen. Reading down a little further, I know it feels like I'm reading you Bible stories here, but just bear with me. It says in verse 45, immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida. While he sent the multitude away, and when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on land. Then he saw them straining and rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the 4th watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." Then he went up into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves, because their heart was hardened. The contemporary English version says it this way in verse 52. It says, their minds were closed and they could not understand the true meaning of the loaves of bread. So Jesus had done more than just feed them in this passage of scripture. He was trying to give them a principle that's still true today. There's some things about God that Jesus is showing the disciples and us that will help us to stay above the waves. The first one is this: God's path always comes with provision. The path that God has for you always comes with provision. We've never been led of the Lord to a place where he wasn't able to provide for our needs. In Mark 6:31, it said this, it said, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." Well, so it's a clear indicator. A deserted place means there's probably not a QT on every corner. But he said, let's go someplace and rest in this deserted place. There may be times in our lives where we're following God where we have to go through some storms or some deserted places in order to find some rest. I remember one of our favorite places to go down in Florida is Siesta Key, and I love boat day. It makes me feel, I was in the Navy, and I was always on, everybody was always like, "Oh, what ship were you on?" I was always on air bases. They said, "Join the Navy, see the world." They took me to Atlanta, where we fought valiantly. I always wanted to be on a ship. I always loved the Navy. And so we do boat day, and we always rent a boat and we take it out. We go into the intercoastal waterway. I can remember one year when we were there and I dropped my family off. I said, "I'll go take the boat back. I'll pull it up to the dock." We were staying at a condo that was on the water. So we pulled up and I let my family out and I got back in the boat and I took off down the intercoastal waterway, and a storm came up. And for a brief moment, because, you know, even though it's not the open ocean water, you know that brackish water still has things in it that I don't want to swim with? As the water started pouring into the boat and the wind and the waves were tossing it, and you know, you got to understand how to put the trim on the boat so that it's not going down too far and the waves aren't coming over the top. You got to raise it up. You got to be able to do all of those things, and waves are crashing in on this thing. And I had a decision to make in the middle of that storm. I could either, and I thought about this, turning the boat off and just staying right where I was at, trying to ride out the storm. But I could also occasionally, when the storm would let up just a little bit, I could see, it's just like a road. There are signs out in the intercoastal waterways that tell you where you're at. And I could see signs barely occasionally. And I decided to keep pressing through because I knew if I could get to the other side of that storm, I could get up to that dock and I'd have a place of rest. Amen. Sometimes when we're going through storms in our life, God is trying to take us to some place, and we may have to go through some things to get to a deserted place so that we can get some rest. When the Lord calls us to go somewhere, though, He'll always provide for us when we get there. When they got to a deserted place and all of those people followed them, the scripture says that Jesus was able to take loaves and fish and spread it around enough that 5,000 could eat from it. The principle that Jesus was trying to show them when the scripture tells us that they failed to consider the loaves was that in deserted places, He can always meet our needs. He can provide rest in deserted places like He did for them. And when everybody shows up to the party wanting some food, He can provide the provision there. When He tells you to get in the water and go to the other side and the storms come up, He wanted them to realize that wherever they went, He was able to provide for their needs. You know, when the Lord calls us to something, He's always going to provide for us. In Genesis 12, when the Lord told Abraham, he said, get out of your country and away from your kin to a land that I'll show you and I'll make of you a great nation. The Lord was able to provide for him. They had so much. The scripture says that he said, get out of your country and away from your kin. The scripture says, I think it's no accident that it says, and Lot went with him. They got there, and when Lot went with him, they had too much that it couldn't even sustain both of them because God was blessing him. When he got out of his country and away from his kin to the land that God was taking him to, God was providing for him in that place. In Exodus, when he told the Israelites to leave Egypt, he said, I'll take you to a land that's flowing with milk and honey. There are rivers to cross sometimes. There are giants to face, but there's always milk and honey. No matter the things that come between us, no matter if it's a giant, no matter if it's a storm, no matter if it's a river to cross, no matter if it's a desert place, wherever it is that He's calling us to go, He'll always be able to sustain us. In 1 Kings, when God told Elijah to go to the brook Cherith and he could drink and eat there, later He sent him to a widow to sustain him. Whenever God calls us to something, remember the story starts out, Jesus said, let's get in the boat and go to the other side. Here's the second truth about this that Jesus was trying to show. Obedience opens the door to impossibility. Our obedience will open the door to the impossible. 5,000 hungry men can't make it on 5 loaves and 2 fish. I raised a teenage son. You can't even feed a teenage son on 5 loaves and 2 fish. You can't feed 5,000 men with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and you can't walk on water. Men don't do it. But when you follow God, wherever He's calling you to, you can rest assured that wherever I'm going, He's able to do even the miraculous to make sure that I can get to where He's called me to be. In every example in the scripture that we see, the people of God following Him, He does the impossible in order to keep his word. Whatever he's called us to, he'll always do whatever it takes to perform his word. Abraham was an old man, and God renewed his youth and allowed him to have a son in order to keep a promise he made to make him a great nation. The Israelites were fed food from heaven and drank water from a rock because God said he would bring them to a promised land. Elijah followed God to the brook, and the birds were bringing him meat, and then God caused a supernatural flow of meal in a widow's barrel in order to keep his promise to sustain him. He saved three boys from a fiery furnace, Daniel from a lion's den. He made waters part, and he made the moon and the sun to stand still. And that's the principle that Jesus was teaching them, that God will do whatever is necessary to keep and perform his word on our behalf whenever we follow him. If I were to just ask for a show of hands today, you know, of people who could give examples of times in their life where they thought they were going under, where they thought they weren't going to make it, but they were able to cling to the promise that God had called them to something. When I remember when Sarah and I came here as students, we came in 2004, and I mean, there were times where it seemed like we were so poor our baloney didn't have a first name. Sometimes we get the jokes we deserve. No, I'm just kidding. We were having a hard time making ends meet. When we left here, God always somehow, some way provided for us. We looked at our taxes when we left, and we realized that on paper, we didn't make enough money to pay the bills we had. But somehow, some way, God would always bring it in from some source. Some debt would get eliminated. Somebody would pay something for us. Somebody would take care of us because God had called us here. And when he calls you to something, he'll always provide the means necessary to ensure you're able to complete the task. Time and time again in my life, when I thought I was going under, God was always bringing me through. Anytime I had a difficulty that I was facing, I remember when I was dealing with physical ailments in my body, doctors were telling me they thought it was neurological. I'm sitting in the MRI listening to that thing just click away, and I got down as low as I think I'd ever been in my life, and I was depressed. I was fasting, trying to move God, not me, trying to convince him to do something for me. It didn't work. That's not how it works. I was just missing meals. And in every instance, he's always brought me through. Every time, he's always shown himself faithful. The answer or the key that helps us stay on track is what the disciples failed to do. It's what Jesus wanted to teach them, and that was to consider the loaves. Consider the loaves. People who walk above the waves, people who stay on top of the water, are the people that consider the loaves. And the loaves are simply reminding ourselves that our God is faithful. That our God is able to meet all our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That there's never going to be a time that you face something that's going to be too hard for God to get you through it. And remember, the scripture says this. It said he would have passed them by. But even if you're at the end of your rope today and you feel like, you know, maybe I should have known this by now. Maybe I should be able to keep my own head above water. Even if you've missed it, you can always cry out to him. And even if he intended to pass you by because of where you're already at and what he's already done, he will turn and find you and lift you up above the waves and get you back on track, get you back to the boat. And get you ready for the next time. He's always faithful. But the thing he wanted them to do was consider the loaves. It's interesting, if you read this passage in John, specifically he mentions that he's the bread. They talk about the manna, and he says that he's the bread of heaven. The bigger picture that he was trying to get them to understand, that the sustenance that we need, everything that you and I have need of, we receive through Jesus Christ. all you're ever going to have need of, what you don't even know that you have need of today, he's already made a way and prepared ahead of you. But what he wants us to do is consider the loaves. What the enemy does in contrast, though, is he tries to get us to consider everything else. Remember what Jesus said? He said to consider the lilies. You remember when in Romans 4, where it says that Abraham, it said, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. You know, the scripture tells us, consider the high priest of our confession. What we consider when we're in the middle of a storm will determine our outcome. What are we considering when we're facing a battle? Are we considering God's grace? Are we considering God's goodness? Are we considering God's faithfulness? Are we considering that when we didn't have enough, he provided more than enough? That when we thought that the doctor's report was the last word, he came in and did exceedingly abundantly above all that we could have ever asked? Are we considering what he's done? Are we considering the wind and the waves? Peter showed us the result of considering the waves. We begin to sink. God wants more for you and I than for us to consider the storms in our lives. Jesus told the disciples to go across the sea, and when they followed him, there was no reason to think that any storm could keep them from making it. And had they, like Jesus wanted them to, had they considered the loaves? What he expected was, because he had provided for them in that desert place when there was no QT, there was no taquitos, he wanted them to remember in the next storm of life that came up that he's always able. What does he want us to consider when the storms of life come up? That he's always able. He's always able no matter what you're going through. And I don't know what you're facing right now, but I want to tell you this, that no matter what it is, he's still able. Nothing has changed. You might say, oh, you don't know what I'm going through tonight. They said that this was a terminal case. He's still able. Oh, they said, this is the last time the bank's going to help me out. It's bankruptcy. He's still able. You don't know what I've experienced in my marriage. You don't know how bad it's gotten. He's able. He's a redeemer. He's a restorer. He's a healer. He's a provider. He's a deliverer. Everything that we need, we have to consider the loaves. He's been faithful every time. He's always showed up. And that'll never change. And even if you've gotten neck deep, even if you're beginning to sink, even if you took your eyes off the loaves and started looking at the waves, you can still cry out, Jesus! Jesus! And he'll meet you where you're at, and he'll take you by the hand, and he'll raise you up, because he's always the same. What Jesus wanted him to do was consider his faithfulness, consider his goodness, consider his mercies, consider his provision, consider every instance. Consider the loaves. He wanted them to consider the loaves. When I was preparing this, I got these words in my heart, and I wanted to share them with you. Could you say this with me? Say, no matter the trial, and no matter the test, I'll keep trusting in Jesus. I'm abundantly blessed. Storms and waves will not stop me. No, I won't be deterred. I will follow God's leading. and I'll stay with his word. I'm abundantly blessed. Abundantly blessed. Though trouble may come, I will walk in God's best. He will never forsake me, so I'll never fail. He's my anchor in storms. He's still the wind in my sail. Whenever you need Jesus, he'll be there every time. From the beginning, when you cried out to him, when you were lost and undone, and he was faithful, he'll always be faithful. There's a boldness that comes for a believer when they begin to understand that in every instance, Jesus will always be there if he's called me to something. It allows us to step out in faith and go further than we could without that knowledge. I want to encourage you tonight, no matter what you've been dealing with, if you've got to write it down on a piece of paper, if you've got to rehearse it, put it in your phone. I've got a list in my phone that I look at occasionally that's all the places where God has showed up in my life and done something to bring me through. And when the enemy starts yakking in my ear and telling me this is the time that I'm not going to make it, I pull that out and I scroll through it. And it helps me to consider the loaves. Oh, when you thought you were going to die by the time you were 30, Rob, and the devil was telling you you'd never make it past then. Well, I'm 49 and the joke's on him. When the devil was telling you that you're never going to be able to pay your bills, you're going to lose your house, you left everything and came out to Rhema, you dipstick, what's wrong with you? You're never going to be able to make it. You've got too much month at the end of your money. And the Lord showed up and provided for every need that I had. I consider the loaves. Would you stand to your feet tonight? I want to pray with you. I'm going to pray a general prayer over you, but here's what I want you to do for me tonight. If you're here and at the end of the service, when I close, we always have our altar care team come down, and you guys can go ahead and come down here. But here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to pray a general prayer, but if you're going through something and you just need somebody to agree with you tonight in prayer, maybe it's a physical issue. Maybe you're dealing with something emotionally. Maybe you got the worst news of your life this week. You just need somebody to agree with you in prayer, to remind you, to help you to get your focus back on what God has already done, what he's willing to do, and not the storm you're facing. After I pray this prayer, when everybody else leaves, I want you to come down front. Ladies, if you'll come to the ladies, men, if you'll come to the men. There are people in here tonight. Yeah. There are people that came in here tonight that you came in and you thought that you were so low. That you even said, I just want to end it. I just want it all to be over. But you've still got things to do. God's still got more in store for you. And there's better days ahead. And this storm will be like every other storm. It'll pass too. Yes, Lord. So lift your eyes. Oh. And rejoice. Oh, yes, Lord. Lift your eyes and rejoice. For change is on the horizon. Better days ahead. Oh, no, you're not. No, you're not better off dead. Thank you, Lord. Father God, I'm praying for these folks that are in here tonight, especially this one. Specifically this one, but these others as well, Lord. I'm asking you by the Holy Spirit to help them, Lord, remind them of that moment in their past where they thought, this is the worst thing I've ever experienced. This is the last time. This is it. Man, I'm going under. Remind them of how you brought them through. Remind them of the words. Lord, your word says that you'll remind us of those things that you said to us. Remind them of the scripture that you gave them to stand on. Remind them of your faithfulness in the past by the Holy Spirit. Reveal it to them that they wouldn't leave here with their head hung down. That they would leave here encouraged, not discouraged. They wouldn't leave here like they came. Father, I'm praying for each and every person that may be here right now that's going through something that seems more difficult than they've ever faced. In the name of Jesus, I'll add my faith to theirs, that if they'll cry out to you tonight, Lord, and say, I'm ready for a change and I need help, and they cry out to you, Lord, I'm going to stand in faith with them. I'm believing God with you right now that this situation's about to turn around. And it'll be another testimony of his goodness where after considering the loaves of the past, you dine on the bread of heaven, the bread of life. Oh, we give you praise and glory for it, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I said, guys, if you're here tonight and you need someone to pray with you, don't leave here without coming down front. Let them pray with you. Let them believe God with you. Let them be an encouragement to you. We love you. We appreciate you so much. Thank you guys for being here this evening. Be here on Sunday. Pastor Bill, anything else? We good? Guys, be here on Sunday. Keep our pastors lifted up in prayer. Pastor Mrs. Hagen, Pastor Denise, and Pastor Craig. We love you. Love on your church family before you leave. God bless you. We'll see you on Sunday.